Hey everyone, Simon here, and we're almost ready to start the show, but we have a couple of ticker items. Download our new studio session and conversation with the double Grammy winning multi-instrumentalist from the UK, Jacob Collier. It's a fantastic show where he plays our Hammond C3 for the very first time. It's very exciting. Plus, you can explore our other archives and check out goodies on our new revamped website, checkoutjazz.org. Now, for our hilarious conversation with Bilal. Enjoy the show. I really don't care. This is music from Bilal. Welcome to The Checkout. It's also a podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. You should maybe subscribe to it now. I'm Simon Rendner. Is it jazz? Is it hip-hop? Is it R&B? Or is it soul? Bilal really doesn't care. The singer fits in the definition of what we often like to refer to on this program, the other side of jazz. It doesn't fit into any neat or tidy category. In fact, what you'll hear in our conversation together, his only request is that it sounds a little bit dirty. We'll find out exactly what he means by that and share a range of music from his varied and most intriguing discography, plus some of our own very unique recordings of the vocalist, our recording with him and the revived big band featuring trumpeter Igmar Thomas. We'll also hear Bilal with the LA-based producer Adrian Young, and we'll hear the singer's incredible, hilarious impersonation of the legendary Prince. You're listening to The Checkout. Thanks for checking in. Now can I be true? And you be the kid that I talk to. And you be the one that I walk to. You be the woman that I'm feeling even when I ain't the time to. You understanding me? I'm sitting with somebody that I think really would qualify as one of the most interesting artists that I've been aware of ever since I've been living in New York City in 2001. Came onto the scene with a debut recording that sold over 300,000 copies. It gives me great pleasure to welcome Bilal on The Checkout and to feature him on WBGO. Thanks, man, for making some time.
For sure, man. Good to talk to you.
We worked briefly together back when we recorded Igmar Thomas and the Revived Big Band at Berklee College of Music, where you were featured on Levels, a big band arrangement. I think people should hear that. So we'll just start with that, with Levels. This is Bilal.
Thank you.
shore. Play it back and forth inside your head. Tell me what the hell we're fighting for. You want to go away. There's eyes of you. There's rivers in this lovely soul. Didn't know my hands was tied. And you had the right. Lock me up and throw away. Cause you can't get enough of me. Whoa. Song for nothing, playing this song, singing this song. No, you won't find me playing this song for nothing, singing this song for nothing, playing this song for nothing. Oh, you won't find me playing this song for nothing. Yeah.
Give it up for Bilal, y'all.
Igmar Thomas.
Marcus Strickland on the tenor saxophone.
Revive Big Band.
Bilal Oliver joins us on the checkout from WBGO. When did you drop the Oliver? When did that happen?
I don't know. I never gave the Oliver. So somebody else gave the Oliver. I always just said my name was Bilal. So I don't know. Maybe we'll drop the Bilal too soon.
And then what you'll be?
I don't know. You know, I'll come up with another name. Just as long as it's not Diddy. Because that's taken.
Well, Ray Angry did tell me you are one of the funniest people on the planet. I'm hoping you can drop some of this humor in this interview right now.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to work on it.
Do you find yourself funny or comedic? Are you known among at least the cats to have a kind of bring a kind of lightness to any affair?
I don't know. I wouldn't say I'm the funniest cat, you know, but I think that comes with being a jazz musician. It's just humor, you know, because when you're improvising, you kind of have to be okay with anything that the accompanist puts behind you, you know. Say you're soloing and your drummer decides he wants to play this, you know, or say you're soloing and the piano wants to decide if he wants to play this way, you know. You gotta go keep playing your thing and shape it around what the other guys are doing, you know. So it makes you look at life in a different way, you know, almost like whatever comes, you find a way to look at the bright side in it, or look at the side that you can use, you know. And humor helps a lot, and, you know, the witty mind.
Well, I can safely say that all the cats that we know that I play on WBGO or on the checkout, for instance, Robert Glasper, for instance, when they all saw you crawling on the floor for your Prince tribute for the Beautiful Ones, I'm sure they were all laughing their ass off.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I didn't have a choice because I didn't even know I was going to do that song until the day before the performance. I was working out doing Do Me Baby, and right before I landed, or before I got on the plane, they told me, no, we want you to do Beautiful Ones. So I just started to check out the movie, and then it just came in my head like, yo, I'm going to do all his moves from this scene, you know? And I was like, I don't know if I'll put... I tried to do it in the sound check, and I almost slid off the stage. I forgot the words. I almost knocked the guitar player down. And, you know, Questlove was like, oh, God, this is going to be terrible. Ah, first Madonna, now with you. So in my head, I was like, you know what? If I'm going to mess this up, I'm going to go all the way in. I'm not going to hold nothing back. And, you know, it worked, I guess.
That's Bilal doing the Beautiful Ones at the BET Awards that was seen by who knows how many hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of people. Bilal joins us on the checkout from WBGO. it's amazing seeing people's reaction in the audience, right? I mean,
yeah, it was the exact reaction from the people in the movie. So it was like we all were like playing out the movie scene and didn't know it.
And for those that don't know, but the scene in which has that song, it's sort of also the climax of the film in many ways. It sort of reaches this apex, right, in the film itself.
Yeah, he's like trying to win his girl back. This girl got stole, you know, she's in the audience watching. So that's like his do or die moment in the movie, you know. So it was kind of do or die in real life for me.
I have to say, personally, rewatching Purple Rain after Prince's death, rest in peace, it didn't age as well as I thought it would. Like there's scenes that made me feel kind of uncomfortable in that film.
Oh yeah, like which scene?
You know, at the very beginning when they throw that girl in the trash can, that's like a practical joke, but you know, it was kind of cruel, and like, you know, it was supposed to be funny, but it's not like funny anymore, kind of. Or when Prince tells her to take off her clothes, you know, at the lake, you know, it's kind of mean-spirited. And then, of course, you know, the domestic abuse kind of stuff in there. I don't know. What do you think?
I think that just shows the trailblazing spirit of Prince, you know, that he was so forcing, you know, to be speaking on injustice that's happening in society even back then, you know, before we even made a big deal out of it. He was writing about it in his film, you know, speaking about it. So it's just another reason why Prince is awesome, bro.
I'm sure it must have been kind of irritating, though, for you, Bilal. Everyone's like, oh, you sound like Prince, right? Like, how many times have you been told that?
It sucks. It started sucking, but then I got over it, you know. I've been compared to so many people, but to be compared to Prince is just, that's awesome, man. You know, he's almost like, what do you call the colors, the prominent colors, you know, and the coloring? He's like a primary color. He's like a primary color in, you know, my musical database for painting, you know. If I were a painter, he is that color, that primary color, you know. Not even purple. He's like freaking red, you know? Like, he's such an important part, you know? So if cats say I sound like him, you know, the only thing that really hurts me is because we live in a society where that is cool, you know? To take on someone else's persona, to take on someone else's legacy and copy it, and then and then keep going with that, and then society's like, whoa, that's dope because it sounds just like so-and-so. I mean, when was that ever cool? You know what I mean? As an artist, you know, I feel like, man, I guess I'm not doing good enough at being my damn self, you know? So it's like, you know, it makes me as an artist go back and chop at the stone for something original, you know, or something that is nostalgic of the greats, but something that is forward thinking, you know, and something that is pushing our culture to another level.
Wonder if you pay them no mind, 'cause it's costing us time. Can you give me a chance to show you?
I Really Don't Care. In Another Life, Bilal joins us on the checkout from WBGO. Unfortunately, we have to wrap this up, but he has amazing music of his own that he just released in Another Life. Anything about this song, I Really Don't Care, from this album that, you know, has a story attached to it?
Well, you know, Adrian Young produced that whole record. I think I made more songs on this record than ever. Like, I've been in a real flowing kind of a space as far as creativity. And this album was like the first time we did a record by accident. I was in L.A. I had went out to L.A. after South by Southwest. I was down there and I jammed with Adrian and his band. And I went to L.A. to just hang out and kind of clear my head at the beach. I like to take like a little while off before I start writing music to just, I don't know, meditate or clear my head or something, you know, and I like don't want to listen to no music. And so I just go somewhere where I can listen to natural stuff, like if it's water or, you know, like that's why I like to go to the beach, or, you know, if I go to some woody type of place so I can hear birds and stuff, but just natural music, you know what I mean? And I was out in L.A. just hanging every day. I felt like I was going to go to the beach and play guitar every day. And Adrian called me and was like, hey, man, I want you to come to my studio. You've never been in my studio before. You check it out. When I went there, he had all of this analog gear. And my album prior to In Another Life, A Love Surreal, we were... it was like a revisit to a sound. Like every album, I go into a different sound or a different concept that I'm trying to work with to blend into, you know, what I'm doing. And the concept on that album was going back into a concept of an album that that never came out. I had an album that I was doing for Interscope before it was dropped. It was called after Dexter Gordon's song, Love for Sale, and
the Cole Porter song, original.
Right. Cole Porter. Sorry. But
Dexter did the best rendition of that song.
I think so. And the whole thing was on that album, trying really capturing dark, raw, dirty sounds and mixing them with. Like landscapey keyboard things, you know, to kind of like, it was like a mixture, almost not so much going into the electronical space, but like a play on it almost in a dirty kind of way. I was listening to a whole lot of Howlin' Wolf and I was trying to figure out a way to mix that with like a Steely Dan approach. So we went back to that on a Love Surreal. And the major thing that we had on that album was I couldn't get the dirty sound from when we were doing Love for Sale because everything was analog back then. That was before they had Pro Tools. So when we went to do Love Surreal, I was just in the studio opening all of the doors. I was like walking around the neighborhood with a tape recorder, white noise from outside because I didn't have a reel-to-reel machine. And I feel like everything is so digital that it records things too pristine and clear. So when I went to Adrian's studio, fast forward, everything is analog. And from he's so analog that he only deals in one period of recording devices. Like if anything is recorded past 1961, he won't even buy it. So it's like dirtier than dirt, you know? And his whole take is out of old soul records and old prog rock records, which is like Gentle Giant, King Crimson, you know, we can, the list goes on. Yes, to Genesis, early Genesis records. But, you know, when we started talking, it was like, we were like, ah, you know, like, what the heck? Like, you're my brother, you know what I mean? And then, like, that day, we recorded two songs, just right on. And then I came back the next day, we recorded two songs. It was like every day we were recording like one to two songs, like from scratch. So it was like I wound up staying in LA for 2 months and had like all of this material. So it was like, dude, we have an album. We're a group. So that's how it happened.
Adrian Young with Bilal in Another Life. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the checkout, and thanks for spending some time.
For sure. Good talking to you, brother. Peace.
Sirens 2, music by Bilal with Adrian Young from their recording In Another Life from 2015. We thank the vocalist for joining us on this edition of The Checkout. If you want to hear our full recording with the Revive Big Band with special guest Bilal, you can go to our Facebook page, The Checkout from WBGO. I posted it there. Revive Big Band will be performing this weekend at Afropunk's Unapologetically Black, the African-American songbook remixed program put together by Robert Glasper at the Apollo Theater. And there's a ton of amazing special guests, Bilal, Toshi Regan, Jill Scott, and many others. You can subscribe to the podcast, also available on iTunes and Stitcher. And if you do that, I ask you to give us a review. It helps us market the show properly. We also have a website, checkoutjazz.org. And if you go to the checkout page, you can see all of our archival content. I'd like to give a special thanks to Berklee College of Music's Rob Hayes and Michael Borghita for making that exclusive recording of Revive Big Band possible. A special thanks to our production intern, Jasmine Murray. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Simon Rettner. Thanks for checking us out.